Podcast with Kristen and Jill. Hi, Jill.
Hi, Kristen.
We're so glad to have you back for episode 2. We had a great discussion last time about being a patient advocate and what that means for you as the advocate, and some tips and tricks on getting services for your loved one. So we're going to build off of that. And this time we are going to be talking about, okay, so now you're the advocate of someone. And so now the next thing you need to know is who pays for what, when, and where. So you're the patient advocate for someone, you're a DPOA, you're a guardian, you're a loved one. And so now your loved one is going to the doctor, or they have to go to the hospital or a rehab facility, or they need home care. And so we wanted to kind of delve into the financial piece of this so that you're empowered when those kind of things happen, to know what you need to do in your role, either as the patient or the patient advocate, when it comes to who pays for certain things, because not all insurances are alike. And so we really wanted to sort of get into that today. So one of the things that I think we need to talk about is the differences between Medicaid, Medicare, private commercial insurance, Advantage plans, like all that kind of stuff, and sort of what the differences are. So Jill, if you want to start us off by, let's say I was in the hospital for a few days and they're going to send me home with home care. What do I need to know when, because the case manager at the hospital, which we kind of touched on last time, is the one that's going to send that referral.
They are.
And so what happens next from a financial perspective for someone who might need home care?
So what we're looking at when someone's in the hospital, we're looking under their Medicare insurance of what your Medicare insurance will pay, your Medicare Advantage plan will pay, or if you have a commercial plan or even Medicaid, what they will authorize for you to have in the home. And this, a lot of this stuff will happen behind the scenes. Your case managers will be sending out referrals. The companies will be running your insurances. They get these things that printed off that say what deductibles are, what the out-of-pocket expectation is going to be. And it's the beginning of the year. So as a home care company, what we see at the beginning of the year is people haven't used their insurance yet. So we see higher deductibles, higher out-of-pockets, which is a determining factor for a lot of folks if they are able to cover that mm-hmm. cost, if there is a cost. Each insurance is very different in what you paid for in that plan. So it's important to know them stuff. And I promise you, whatever agencies you're working for, they will do that legwork for you.
Which is hugely helpful.
Yeah. No one wants a surprise bill of, I thought we were good. I thought my Medicare would cover everything. I always go back to my grandmother, which was 20 years ago. She had the traditional Medicare and the backup Blue Cross Blue Shield plan, and that covered everything. And the one time she got a $2 deductible on a prescription cost, she was livid. Nowadays, I think we all would pray for a $2 deductible, right?
A $2 deductible.
So understand that you have Medicare Part A, you have Medicare Part B, and different services will bill different things under that. I'm seeing them a lot.
So just for clarity, do you ever recommend that a patient calls their insurance company to get all that information? Or is it like you said, like the patient should really just buddy up with the case manager and also the representative from the home care agency like you, and to be that person to say, okay, your insurance is going to cover, is it a per day charge for home care? Or is it hourly?
So each insurance, there is a per visit charge, and some insurances pay for episodic charge, which means you're coming in under a COPD diagnosis, and there's a one-time payment to the home care company to do them sort of things. Or depending on your insurance, the home care company may bill per visit. It's really set on the insurances. What I would suggest, one of the things we can put in our toolkit is, I know in December and January, every insurance company sends you all a booklet that has your list of benefits, that has it broken down. Medicare sends that really big one that says Medicare and you.
Yes.
It's good just to have that handy of Okay, what's covered, not covered? Because it does vary from year to year. Every time you re-enroll in a plan, things change from year to year.
Right.
So that's always a nice tool to have. Most of your medical entities have billing offices, have folks that will run them insurances for you also,
Okay.
and usually they will reach out to you and say,
Just so you know.
this is where you're at,
Yeah.
this is what you're looking
Yep.
at.
Yep.
Because it's just good information, but
Yeah.
if you don't pay the bill, they get stuck with the bill too. So
Right.
everybody is wants to make sure
Well,
that is
everybody wants to
covered.
make sure, exactly. Now, there are differences between straight Medicare, Medicare Advantage plans, Medicaid. So I will talk a little bit about from the short-term rehab perspective. So if you're a person who's in the hospital for a little bit, maybe not well enough to go home quite yet, but you're not sick enough to stay in the hospital, usually they'll transition you for something called a short stay at a subacute rehab. So that's one of the things that we do here at Dobie Road. So a short-term stay is usually, I think the average length of stay right now here is around 12 to 15 days, something like that. Obviously, people can stay shorter. We've had people stay for 2 to 4 days. We've had people stay for 60 to 80 days. It just depends on what's going on. So usually with straight Medicare, there's something called a 100-day benefit, okay?
Yep,
So
there's
let's just talk about
that.
that for a second because sometimes I think people thinks that means that they will be in a rehab setting for 100 days. That is not the case. What that means is that you have 100 days. So let's say you, God forbid, fall and you're in the hospital and they say, "Boy, you've got 25 steps to get up to your apartment. We really just feel like you need some more therapy in order to be able to do that. So we are going to send you to a short-term rehab where you'll get that extra therapy before you go home." And then let's say you're at the short-term rehab for 20 days. And then they say, "Great, you're able to do 25 stairs. You can go home. This is great news." You have then the remainder of days left on your Medicare Advantage, or I'm sorry, your straight Medicare 100 days. And then let's say later on in the year you fall again and you go to a different facility. That facility will usually try or want to know if you've used days at other facilities so they can know how many days you have left because what you never ever want to happen is that A, you get very close to that 100 days because after the 100 days you have a 20% copay, I believe. Is that right, Jill? I can't
So
remember.
if you have a traditional Medicare plan, and again, if you have the traditional Medicare plan, the first 20 days is 100%.
100% covered for 20
21st day, the
days,
100th day,
yes.
there's a copay.
Copay.
If you have a Medicare Advantage plan, which is your Humanas, your Aetnas, your PHPs, all them
Yep,
things out
BCN.
there, each one of them is very different
The copay.
in them copays and them rules and them timelines.
Okay.
So just be
So yeah, so
research
be
wise.
aware because usually the case manager will be able to help you say, okay, your first 20 days. So let's say, so on day 21 is when that copay starts.
Correct.
So if you have Humana, they might pay a certain percentage of that copay. Or whatever. There might be a patient pay amount, there might not be. These are all things to know that could potentially happen if you have to stay past those 20 days. Now, Jill, can you talk a little bit about what happens if they have an if you're within the 30 days? So let's say you went to a rehab and 15 days later you feel like, man, I'm just not doing well at home. Can they go back to a short-term rehab facility?
They can.
Yes,
So
can.
everything is done by episodes in the insurance world.
Yes.
And there's 30 days seems to be a big marker, 60
Yep.
days seems to be a big marker.
Yep.
So a lot of times if in nursing homes and rehab centers really do prefer this because the goal is to keep you out of the hospital if
Right,
possible.
right.
And all of this stuff is also based on medical eligibility. So there's this whole medical piece that goes with it too, that you can't just go hang out at the rehab center because they have good
Right,
food.
right.
There has to be
Medical
some
necessity, yes.
medical
Yep, yep,
necessity.
yep.
So I almost forgot the question there.
Well, I was just saying, like, if you
Oh.
have another episode or another thing, or you're it within 30 days of being discharged. Let's say I discharged from Dobie Road 2 weeks ago, but man, I just feel like I'm not doing great at home.
So you can return back to the rehab or nursing home facility within 30 days of that discharge under your Medicare rules.
Yes.
Again, it has to meet medical qualifications. Mm-hmm. But if you get home and something happens, maybe you thought you were doing good with physical therapy and the hip just mm-hmm. isn't cooperating and yep. you need to go back in for, then you're still under that same episode. So
correct.
That works really well.
Yep. And my advice for that would be to call your PCP. Explain what's going on, mm-hmm. Or call the facility that you were at and say, hey, I'm home, but things just aren't going well. What do I need to do? And we can help you through that. So,
and they'll usually guide you very well through
yes.
that. And also they might, if you get a hold of the nurse that is working with you, they may direct you to that. You know, mm-hmm. this sounds more like you need to get to the ER because there's something different medically going on.
Yeah.
So yeah, use them resources. I always say anytime you use a service, whether it's a rehab or home care or wherever your doctor's office, always try to make a friend with the nurse because
right.
befriend a nurse day. We should make that a
That's
day.
That's right.
Because it's always good to have that person just to call for advice on that medical side of,
yeah,
these are the symptoms, there's a change in condition. I'm having a uh-oh moment.
Yeah.
What should we do?
Yeah. And you know, just to go back to something that you mentioned a second ago about, you know, the hospital isn't, you know, necessarily the place that you want to go. But, you know, first of all, hospitals obviously have a huge role in the acute world. So mm-hmm. by acute, we mean, boy, you need help right now. You obviously want to go to the emergency room. You need to be admitted, all those kinds of things. Absolutely, 1,000%. But as we all know, too, hospitals are the place where you might get a secondary infection. I mean, it just happens. You have a lot of people in one space. And so I'm not saying that could happen, just as a caveat. I am not saying that. I'm just saying, like, and the hospital will tell you, too, like, you know, if you have the opportunity to be home, that's sometimes better than in the hospital. So or in a rehab facility or, you know, something like that. So,
And I think that ER stay, and again, if you, when in doubt, go to the ER.
1,000%.
We're not saying don't.
No,
don't do
please
that.
Go to the emergency room. Yeah.
But for our older folks that may be suffering from some dementia or just mm-hmm. having a rough time, I mean, all of us.
Yeah.
Then wait times in them ERs can cause a lot of stress and anxiety because you are waiting a lot of time.
Yeah.
Urgent cares are also a good option.
Yes.
If it's something like we're just coughing, there's a sprain, mm-hmm. there's something, I don't say minor, but it's not the bone sticking out or, you know, things like that. If there's a change in their cognitive issues where they just seem like they're off, go to the ER.
Yeah.
Make sure there's not infections and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But
no, we definitely are saying go to the ER. That is what we are saying. Go to the emergency room. If you're not sure what to do, go to the emergency room. But back to some of this payer stuff. So I think, a lot of people are maybe not sure of the difference between a nursing home and assisted living and a rehab. So let me just go through those very quickly. So a rehab, like we sort of said already, is a short stay. It's very similar to the hospital setup usually. And that is, like I said, short stay. Their goal is for you to be here to get therapy, to get nursing, to get well, and to go to your next destination. Sometimes that's home with home care. Sometimes it's back to, you know, your independent living situation with your family. Sometimes it's to an assisted living. So an assisted living is not a nursing home. So an assisted living, the differences are going to be assisted living is typically going to be a private pay situation. If they're a licensed, facility, they also accept Medicaid. But if they're not licensed, help me, Jill, if I'm not saying this correctly. We don't do assisted living here at Dobie Road, so I'm not always, you know, as...
The big differential with assisted living licensed and unlicensed is if they take the long-term care insurance policies.
Got you. Okay.
It's sometimes Medicaid will pay for an AFC home or assisted living if you're part of a PACE program or My Choice Waiver program.
Okay.
All the moons and stars have to line up for that to happen. It's a whole process. It's being part of that agency and their case managers that feel that that's the right option for you. It's usually we're already on the program, they're doing home care at home, and then moving into the assisted living because we've just being safe at home is just not okay. This doesn't work anymore. Again, that is not the norm.
Yeah.
I just want people to know that because we always used to say, or we say, you know, it's what you want, what you can afford, and what you need. Finding that perfect combination.
Okay.
For families Love and loved ones, is the challenge.
Yeah.
And it is, and learning what. Working with folks who know them systems to get you the best answer.
Yeah.
Money is always options.
Yep.
Assisted livings, memory care units, AFC homes, they all take cash. They all they all take private pay dollars.
Mm-hmm.
So them are places that is an option for some folks, and they really run the gamut of care they provide, the cost of that care, size. There's a whole bunch of them out there.
Yeah, I was going to say there's a lot in the Lansing area. And I will say the same about nursing homes. Go visit, go take tours, see what feels like a good fit for you. Like Jill said, there's so many in our area. You have so many options. It's worth it to go visit. You know, what's closest to your family? What's, you know, it's just worth it to go visit.
Yeah. When I always tell people and to go out and see places before the crisis hits.
Mm.
Because when you're in the hospital, there's lots of lists out there. There's lots of Google. Lots of agencies that will help you with placement. But if someone hands you a list of all the assisted livings in Lansing,
it's overwhelming.
It's probably 20 to 25 now.
Oh, easily. Yeah.
They're popping up they're popping up everywhere.
Yep.
Go and visit them. Learn about their different levels of care.
Yep, prices. They'll share that with you.
Mm-hmm. Some of them will do an a la carte where this is your rent. And then depending on what services you need, then we'll increase your costs based on that.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them do just the cost is this per month and it includes all your care. There are important things to research based on your loved one's needs, based on how much resources you do have.
Mm-hmm.
Aging in place is a big term a lot of places
use.
Again, we don't want to move people more than we have to.
That's right. Yep.
So there's a lot of thought that goes into it because if I have enough money to pay for 6 months and I got to move again in 6 months, that's a hard thing for our loved ones to do.
Yeah, absolutely. And the nursing home setting is different. So the nursing home setting is different. Nursing homes... or long-term care, those are 24-hour facilities. They have nurses on staff 24 hours, multiple nurses usually. We have multiple nurses, lots of nurses on staff 24 hours a day. We have certified nursing assistants here. They have to be certified nursing assistants. They can't be techs. And just a lot more of a regulated environment than assisted living. And I don't mean that in any kind of way. That's just how it is. And also the nursing home population is mostly your Medicaid population. So Medicaid pays for the nursing homes. Typically, nursing homes also accept private pay. But I would say Medicaid's the primary payer of a nurse, at least here at Dobie Road. We're over 90% Medicaid here. And we do have beds available just as a little plug. We do have Medicaid beds available now. So, but yeah, again, definitely know, what your income source is and what that is going to cover. Cause I think some people get shocked at the price of a nursing home versus assisted living, but you have to remember the care is completely different. So it's what Jill is talking about. Like, what are your needs? Cause, if you need 24-hour nursing care, you should be going to a nursing home and not necessarily an assisted living.
When you go to all these places, there is a sticker shock factor.
Yes.
I think for most folks, if it's your first time going down this road.
Yes.
Your nursing homes, most of them do, they all take Medicaid. That's usually the main payer source for most of them. I think there's some stigma of Medicaid. Understand the rules to long-term care Medicaid is very different than it is for our younger folks on Medicaid.
Yes. Community Medicaid is not the same
as
nursing home Medicaid. You're right. There is some confusion about that.
I worked in the Medicaid world for a very long time.
Mm.
I'm not an attorney, nor did I stay at a Holiday Inn last night, so I won't give too much. But seek out folks that can help you with that eligibility before you move in your money, before you try to put it in the mattress. Do not get divorced. The rules for our married folks are generous here in Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
Michigan does not want this healthy spouse to be impoverished if they have to put their loved one into the nursing home.
Right.
Our folks that are single, the rules aren't so forgiving, but you need to seek legal advice of a elder law attorney or a MAP counselor on how to get that qualified.
Yes.
There are penalties. There's Medicaid fraud. The state don't play.
No.
With you qualifying for that government benefit.
Right.
But it is manageable. There are some resources out there that can really help you navigate that. Don't be scared of it. And the rules for Medicaid they change constantly. So
yearly.
What Millie told you at the senior center 5 years ago probably doesn't apply today.
Yep.
And I won't talk about the manuals and all that good stuff because if you're that bored, go read the manuals. But get with someone who's on top of that piece of, because I'm afraid of what I see occasionally is people are not getting the care they need for someone because they're afraid of the costs. They're afraid of losing their house. They're afraid of all these things.
Right.
A lot of that is urban legends. A lot of it can be worked around.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not something you want to try to navigate on your own.
No, it's a complicated world, but there's so many resources out there to help you. And Jill and I have talked to, we'd love to have a local attorney that's going to join us, hopefully maybe next podcast, because I think this is a great segue.
Yeah.
And have them really join us just to give you some of their tips and tricks and how they can help. Because a lot of people do end up going that route. Because they are, and remember too, there's a look back. How far is the look back now? Is it 5 years or 3?
The look back is 5 years.
Five
now.
Years, okay.
And I've been doing this a long time. I remember the technology wasn't so good 20 years ago, so
yeah.
You could slide some stuff through. Not that I ever would, but now with all the check and balances systems in place,
right?
You know where you're. One of the things that always surprised me is the Department of Health and Human Services gets statements of things that have accumulated interest. So if there's a bank account you forgot about or a CD you forgot about.
Property you forgot about. Mm-hmm.
It will come back.
Yes.
They might not find it the first time around, but mm-hmm. it will come back in their system of, hey, we see this and we see that. Again, the DHHS workers can be very helpful.
Yes.
They're the first place probably to reach out to if you're, that's where you file your application. They're the ones that kind of hold the gatekeeper to Medicaid.
And they know it backwards and forwards.
That's their whole job.
That literally is their whole job. Make an appointment. And I agree with you. The DHHS, Department of Health and Human Services, are that's what they do.
That's what they do. And they're the ones, they're the ones that are going to green light it or ask you for more information. Yep. So,
but they're a great resource. You can ask them questions. They can help you. And also Tri-County Office on Aging. I think we've talked about that. Mm-hmm. They can help with some of that too and direct you to the right place or give you the phone number to call.
And there's MAP counselors throughout mm-hmm. Michigan. So even if you may be listening outside of the Lansing area, your Department of Aging's have the MAP counselors.
And can you say really quick what a MAP counselor is? What does that stand for?
Medicare, Medicaid, AP. Oh my goodness.
Application. I don't remember.
Assistance program.
Yes. Medicare, Medicaid assistance program. Yep. Yeah. And MAP is the acronym for that. And it's actually MMAP, right?
Mm-hmm.
Correct. Yeah.
Yep.
But like Jill said, every area on aging, in the state would have that. And they're a good place to start, but, again, DHS is going to be your resource.
And they're a free resource.
Yes. MAP counselors are free.
Mm-hmm. I'm a big fan of elder law attorneys because
yes.
My disclaimer, I worked for one for many years. Most of them don't do this for free,
mm-hmm.
but it's worth it if you have assets and things that you want to make sure everything gets passed on the right way or we can protect as much as we can. Okay, I went on that.
Nope, that's good. We're getting close to the end of our time here. So I just want to say that this piece is a very important piece. We're going to have an elder law attorney that's going to come join us. And I think we can really delve into this a lot deeper and talk about, you know, how do you afford a nursing home, or how does your loved one afford a nursing home or assisted living, or, you know, home care that's private pay, or an adult day center, that can also be private pay. We haven't even touched on those, because those are options as well.
And I think the other options we didn't touch on yet is there's, if you're a veteran,
yes,
that the veteran, and I'm not even going to start talking about veterans benefits because each program's a little bit different. Yep. Each one's dependent on service related or disabilities. It's a monster.
Yeah.
The veterans, but they are there to help our veterans.
Yes.
And they may have really good resources. The VA can help with long-term care costs, whether it's home care, whether it's assisted living, whether it's rehab.
Yes.
That's also an option from a lot of our folks that are out there that, don't forget to use that. So it's always trying to get, I always want to say you want to be insurance rich, right?
Yes.
The more insurances you have, the more options you have.
Yep.
The more choices you have.
Love it.
And what's the other caveat I was going to say? If you're a Mason.
Oh, really?
If you're a Mason, this isn't in the Lansing area, but Alma has the Masonic home.
Yes.
And that's a whole option for our folks that are Masons, which is, I don't know a lot about the Masons, but it's another option for helping with long-term care and options up there too.
Dang. Yeah, I agree. Insurance rich. I love it. Well, that to me is a great note to end on. So we're going to end on that, and we'll have a lot more for you in our next podcast. So stay tuned. Jill, it was great to see you again today.
You too.
And everybody have a great day. We'll talk soon.